I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast.
We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 53, we're celebrating the life of an old friend. We're very excited about early teal season, and Nate blows us away with his hidden talent, coming up with the best outdoors TV show ideas.
What's new, Nate?
So I started watching Jack Ryan.
Well,
on Amazon Prime. It's really good. I really like it a lot.
You like it?
I do.
What do you think of that turn for him as an actor?
I'm like, when he had an adult scene, and I was like, Jim, think about Pam. So it's like hard for me to get that out of my head. But like, no, I like it. He does well with it. But he doesn't play like a, he's bad A, but he's not like the bad A, right?
Exactly.
Like, he's just like super smart. And so he kind of plays more of a Jim character in the military world, if that makes sense.
Real okay, then I really
want
to see
who could
it.
Kill people with his bare hands.
Yeah. No, he kind of knows more than he leads on, which I think is cool. Like, as a character.
I like his take on the character. It's very good.
Very good. So if you haven't seen it yet, check it out.
That was my green light, my keep last week.
What podcast
is
this?
Yeah, exactly.
So wait, do you think I would like it?
I think you would like it. I really do.
Okay. I'm going to try it then. Travis says no. Nate says yes. We'll see.
I think it's too dark for her, but we'll see.
Yeah, it could be. There are some pretty dark stuff, but
okay.
You watch Justified, yeah. Though. So I think you'd be
yeah,
fine.
That's what I say. It's not like scary or anything. Anyway, it's a great show. It's a good show. It's a really solid Amazon show.
Okay.
It's got good commentary on the political climate of the Middle East.
It really does. I thought it split right down the middle. It didn't go too far blue or red or anything else.
Yep. I agree.
What's new with you, Trav?
All right, I'm going to get you off the hook on this, Emily. Two what's news for me. The first one, super sad. Coleman, the wonder dog, has died.
It is super sad. That is a sad. That's a sad.
As an adult, that was my first bird dog. I put a column up this past weekend on Coleman on our site. So you heard him roaming around. Emily's going to be crying for the next few minutes. But you heard him roaming around in the show like he was always hassling and clicking his feet. And 16 years old. So it's been a rough week for us going around here.
That's a good long life for a dog, though.
Exactly. You can't beat what he got to go through as far as his life.
He was very good at putting things on his head.
In his heyday, he definitely balanced a lot of stuff on his head. He ate, a lot of people don't know, he ate the first 5 doves he picked up, feathers and all. But then he was actually really good in the field. He was really good in the field with snipe and quail when we could find quail with doves. He'd pick up ducks. He'd retrieve ducks. Sometimes he'd point them. And anyway, so thanks for giving us a second to memorialize Coleman the Wonder Dog. You okay?
Yep.
All right.
I have not even made it to work all week. Just,
yeah, she's been a disaster.
Just so everyone knows, this is the state of Emily right now. Like, I can't
no,
even deal.
You know, losing a dog is tough. I mean, it, you know. Even if he got on your nerves sometimes and like you're like, you stupid dog, but there's a bond there that you can't get with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really tough when you lose a dog, especially one that's been around that long and been in your family that long.
Yep.
So, you know, my heart goes out to you guys, you know, praying for you.
Thanks, man.
Through this difficult
time. Anybody who's been through it knows.
Yeah.
And it's just all you can be sad and wait because time is the only thing that makes it better.
That's right.
Yep.
What's new with you?
What's new with me is I went to my first FWC meeting this past week.
Hey.
And it was
riveting.
It was riveting. Listen, you guys, okay, all the wives, all my homies listening, understand that maybe there are times in your marriage where your husband is rattling on for the third or fourth hour about hydrilla management. Or bird migration, or what have you. And maybe you tune out a little bit because you've had all you can take. But sitting in that room and hearing the scientists talk about the data and projections and recovery time from spraying of plants and things like that, it really was super informative. And I was really proud to be there as part of the waterfowl community because everybody who got up had very intelligent questions. They were very well spoken. Nobody was mad or there to light fires. They really were there in a spirit, I thought, of collaboration. So it was a very cool night and a good introduction for me.
Yeah, I appreciate you going. We had a great turnout. Bunch of guys that listened to the show were there. Wade, Tyler, Chad Andrews, RC, Don Higgins, like just a lot of good guys. Mm-hmm. And even some folks that aren't, you know, on Facebook and stuff. It was a really solid representation. Ryan came from Winter Haven. So, and as a heads up, I said I had two What's News. There's a meeting. People always say we don't know about these meetings. So there's a meeting Thursday, 5:30 to 8:30 in Wellington. It's the Arthur R. Marshall Loxahatchee National Wildlife Refuge public meeting. They're talking about expanding hunting opportunities.
Hey, that's nice. So, but we need hunters there.
Exactly.
To express your opinion about hunting opportunities.
Respectfully and
intelligently.
Yes.
So what have you titled this episode?
I don't know what to call this episode. I have it in my notes. It says that time we jumped the shark, episode 53.
We don't have a game as the foot, right?
I don't.
You don't, do you?
I do not.
So, the time we jumped the shark?
The time we jumped the shark.
Do you know there is an actual episode of Happy Days where someone
literally jumps over a shark?
And it is the best one.
Is it?
I don't know, but that's what Troy Barnes says in Community.
So I prepared myself for using the phrase jump the shark, and I did Google it. And yes, I do know what you're talking about. But I guess historically it's used to say that episode of Happy Days is when it got bad and it always got worse from there on out.
Well, and I'm the oldest one at the table, right? I remember this episode vividly.
In the studio.
Fonzie.
You're the oldest one in the studio. You got to keep it
profesh. It's a studio table.
It's profesh.
It's a desk. I'm old enough to remember watching that on TV. My parents let me stay up to watch when Fonzie jumped the shark.
Was it the coolest?
It was pretty cool. Like, I was pretty impressed, even though it was like the same shark scene like 15 times. Like, he's just swimming. Like,
right.
They just kept going back to that same scene of that shark swimming left. Anyway.
Special effects.
Editing being what it was back in the day. So what we've done, how do we even phrase this? How do we even start this?
I can try to paint this picture, but we kind of challenged each other to take a current TV show or a current concept or something that's on Netflix and put a hunting or outdoorsy spin on it, saying, if we could do this differently, or I wish they would have, blah, blah, blah. Does that make any sense?
It makes no sense to anyone.
Zero sense. But it's like the episodes we wish were on, or the TV shows that we wish were on outdoor TV.
Yeah, there you go. That's much better.
So, like, it's...
Why isn't Nate in charge?
But some of them are ridiculous.
Well,
as per use with us.
And so, that pull back the curtain a little bit, this is the entire show prep. I sent a text saying, hey, why don't we pick some ridiculous TV shows and talk about them on the podcast? That was the entire show prep. And then we all had to go on our own. So you may get some different interpretations here.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Emily as I say that.
I like my interpretations. Thank you very much.
All right. We drew straws backstage before... before the show. Nate, would you like to go first? Because since you won the...
Again?
Yeah, it's amazing. You're on a hot streak.
How many do you have?
Man, I am on a
Nate,
hot streak.
How many do you have?
I have three.
Okay. That's good.
All right, what you got?
Okay, so for my first
one...
Set the
stage for us.
Yeah, so I have two ridiculous ones and one that I actually really would like to see. I would like to see, like, Parks and Rec remade... But every episode is the hunting episode.
The one where Tom Haverford shoots Ron Swanson in the head?
Yeah. And they're like, bula, bula, bula. And, you know, every time they shoot. I just want to see, like, a whole, like, series of just
Just that cast, but the whole thing is about hunting.
Yes, the whole thing's about hunting.
I love that.
That would be
so you want to keep it the same as far as the show goes.
Yeah, same style, but it's like real life. Like, they actually hunt and they actually
fish. You call
it
like state Parks and Rec.
There you go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. National. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
I do have some questions. I feel like their use of alcohol around guns is not super safe in that episode.
Yeah. No, there's a few like details that I would like to change. Like, I don't want somebody to get shot in the head up every episode. That would not be really good. You know, but I just think that cast of characters plus the outdoors would be a good... Kind of a good
100% agree.
Leslie harvests a quail in that episode, but it's her angle and her shot doesn't match up to the harvest. There's some.
I mean, there's a lot of bad things about that episode, about a lot of like inaccuracies about
Ann
that.
Perkins
episode.
Shoots a shotgun that has no recoil.
Zero.
They could have used a consultant on the set that day.
I feel like I'd like to be a consultant on that show.
Oh, I could be a movie consultant. Anytime they do anything outdoors related, I could say, yeah, that's real. Yeah, no, that's stupid. Yeah, that's stupid. You know, and kind of just, I would love, that would be
so you kind of stole one of mine, because I had a Parks and Rec where we changed the roles. We still have the same actors, actresses, but I would like for Ron to be Ron Swanson and for Leslie to be in charge of spraying all the lakes for hydrilla management.
So she has to deal with all the stakeholders.
Yeah. So then you have the stakeholder meetings in like the cafeteria at the school, and there's 50,000 people there pissed off about hydrilla spraying. I just think that would be some outstanding entertainment.
Yeah. And like how in the show, the community members are just like,
and they always have ridiculous reasons.
And they're just like ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like hydrilla because
that would
it's green.
Be pretty funny.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Right.
Why can't we get some blue hydrilla? So I could just see. And I think even like the people from FWC would watch that because it would be so ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's a pretty good idea.
What you got?
Okay, so here's my first one. Instead of dancing with the stars, dancing with the ducks.
Oh my god!
And each species is paired with a surprise celebrity contestant. Okay, I've prepared some examples.
I'm sorry. Each species of duck is paired.
Not prepared. We haven't cooked them yet.
Is paired with a surprise celebrity contestant that they dance with.
Yes.
So you're going to have a duck.
Yes.
You envision this like an Aflac duck type situation?
Yeah, like a big duck, like a human-sized duck.
Okay, like a person in a duck costume.
No, a duck.
Okay. That's not real.
Here are some scenarios that I've come up with. I think Cookie Monster and a wood duck would be so funny together. Because they'd just be like loud and fun together, and they'd like eat cookies, and then they would like like they could do like a dance where Cookie Monster uses his hands because he's in a garbage can.
Hang on. Is there any way we could check the statistics at this moment?
Because everyone turned it off.
Yeah.
Well, you asked me to come up with things.
No, I love it. I love it.
Okay, second scenario. Joel McHale dances with a canvas back.
Why?
Well,
Joel McHale from Community and the soup. The soup.
The new soup on Netflix, whatever that's called. Because he's always trying to make a comeback, Joel McHale. And the canvas back is like the king, but not really. He's always trying to make a comeback.
Okay.
And they would be very serious about it, I feel like. They would take each other very seriously, and that would be very funny to me.
Okay. The guy dancing with the duck wouldn't be funny. It would be because they took it seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Alex Trebek with a modeled, because he'd constantly just be twirling around asking what it was.
Because he's from Jeopardy.
Yeah, with the Jeopardy style asking of the questions.
Okay.
What is Black Duck?
Do you have some more?
I have one more.
Okay, good, because I'm just running through my head right now about the editing that I'm going to have to do to this segment.
Okay, the last one would be Lindsay Lohan, because she's been on the internet recently for dancing in Italy terribly. Mm-hmm. So I would put her with Teal, because like she comes in really early and no one can really do anything with her. It's just a train wreck. Like it would just be over so fast.
Okay.
But everyone would love to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the twist. Whoever wins has to shoot their duck and eat it.
Wow, that got really dark really fast there at the end.
Yeah, that took a turn there.
But wouldn't you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I would absolutely watch
it.
How
are you going to prepare that duck after you shoot it? Like, that's exactly.
So it's a duck that's like 200 pounds. It's human size, so that's going to be big time.
I mean,
I did not factor that in, but that makes it funnier.
I don't know that it does.
Okay, that was my first one.
Excellent. He choked. All right, Nate, it's back to you.
Good all luck right. following that, big boy.
Yeah, good gosh. I thought mine were ridiculous. So I'd like to see an office style show, but set at like Realtree.
Oh.
Or
that's
like
so good.
Vortex Optics or Remington Guns, you know, some big outdoor
Bass
company,
Pro.
Right?
Like you're not talking like a reality,
like Bass Pro.
Yeah,
Shop.
You're not talking like Duck Dynasty. You're talking like let's hire actors.
I'm talking like yes, and set it at an outdoor company.
That would be amazing. So like,
wouldn't that be hilarious? Yes.
What's that one that was on Netflix? Or was it Big Box or the
Superstore?
And then there's the IT crowd. Like it would be like doing that, but doing it instead of it being a regular business setting, it would be in an outdoors hunting or fishing.
Exactly.
Dude, I actually love that idea.
I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
Isn't that such a good idea? Man.
There's so many plot lines you could run through that. Like new hunters, old hunters.
PETA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so good, Nate.
Dude, I kind of want to see that for real. Like, can you get us a...
Like, seriously.
Can you get us a pilot?
Let's get on the horn with the Outdoor Channel and let's get this thing done.
No, I think that's where you go wrong is like, growing up as a church kid in the 90s, like you had Christian music and then you had regular music, and Christian music was never quite as good as the regular music because the regular music had better producers and stuff. I think you need like NBC or somebody or FX. You need to get somebody that's got a little edge to get behind.
FX, yeah. Or just Netflix and you can do whatever you want.
Then you don't have to censor either. You can just say whatever you want.
Right.
So was that the one you seriously wanted to see?
No, actually, no. Dude. I thought that was going to be ridiculous.
No, that one's good. So Nate has the best one so far.
Yeah, and I'm going to kind of daydream about that now because I really feel the need to see that.
Yeah. I mean, that would be...
It would be huge for the industry, too. Like, we're joking around a lot, but that would be a really good show for engagement in the industry.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a good platform to kind of talk about some of the issues in hunting in the outdoors. So, like, talk about anti-hunters, but talk about it in a way that makes sense, in a way that's, you know, respectful and, you know, I mean, just really, really pound on some like deep issues.
But it would be a comedy, right?
100%.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, The Office had deep stuff, right? I mean, it had some deep moments.
Yeah. But you'd have,
you can do that in a comedy.
You'd have like the shotgun salesman dating the receptionist.
Yes.
Why the shotgun salesman?
I don't know. It's maybe a gun company.
We're talking about a salesman. So, I mean, you know,
The fishing rod salesman.
I just thought it was weird that it was the shotgun. Yeah. Do you equate that with the most masculine?
No.
Is that
paper salesman with the most masculine.
Is that
either
the Jim Halpert of guns?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking.
It doesn't have to be one for one. Nate's forging his own ground here. He's a tastemaker.
This is true.
I like a plot line where maybe somebody who's like a PETA member ends up working there because the economy is just really hard to get a job.
It's the only job they could
get. Yeah, so they're just like miserably there trying to sabotage everything.
And then the character arc of that person is they kind of come around. Accept, like, you know.
Yeah. Maybe like secretly after hours, they're in like the little arcade shooting the ducks at like the games.
Right.
Then they love
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
Yes, you go.
This one might not be appropriate, but we've got a regular show on the Outdoor Channel or somewhere called Beat Charlie Moore. Right, where you fish with Charlie Moore, and he's super obnoxious Yankee dude, and like
is that still a show?
Yeah, I think it's still a show, Nate.
I mean, yeah, I think it is too. And every time he opens his mouth, I want to punch him in the mouth.
Yes. So this is my proposal: is beat up Charlie Moore,
or just put a comma in there? Beat Charlie Moore.
Yeah. So it's the exact same show. Like this would cost very little for anyone to do. I think Charlie Moore even had a Beat Charlie Moore episode where he fished with Hulk Hogan. So like you could use that exact same template. Just whenever Charlie Moore said anything or caught a fish, Hulk Hogan got to punch him in the throat. I would watch that.
I would totally watch that.
I think that's funny, but that's also dark like mine was.
It's not dark like yours was.
You get throat punched every time you say something?
We could rotate the guests. Like you could have Mike Tyson, you could have Ronda Rousey, you could have Hulk Hogan. Like you could get all these different industries. I would be a guest on there for sure.
Serena Williams could smash her tennis racket into his throat.
Topical.
Oh, dang.
And if it makes it more than a season, we'll do it again.
Kids, we don't condone violence towards each other. I just
can't deal with Charlie Moore, man. I'm sure he's a fine dude, but I can't deal with him. He's just so obnoxious and so brash and so arrogant. And so anyway, Nate's on board with it. We have Nate's full support.
If he didn't have the accent, it wouldn't be so bad, but that accent just makes everything so much worse.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, I'm almost scared to ask what your next one is.
Okay, my next one is one you're going to love, Freddie.
Okay.
Okay, picture Mystery Science Theater, the old show, where they are like in a movie theater. Actually, I'm going to read the synopsis of what it was in case people haven't. Okay. Forced by evil scientists to watch bad B movies until he breaks, a host and a bunch of captive robots comment on the films to keep sane. So they're sitting.
If somebody's listening and doesn't know what this is, it's where you have a movie plane and then you see the silhouettes of little robots and aliens at the front of the movie watching it, making fun of it.
Right. So I would like to reframe this where it is ducks watching the videos that all the hunters post on the Facebook duck groups. And they are offering commentary on how the hunters could have taken that shot better or shouldn't have water swatted or shouldn't have sky blasted, et cetera.
What? That's pretty macabre, too.
Is it?
Yeah, because the ducks are what's getting shot.
No, but here's the thing. I feel like the ducks are just as into hunting season as we are. And they're like, let's go, mothers. Like, let's do it. Let's see who wins. That's why they fly in front of your blinds.
It's like a war.
Yeah. So, like, I think they're fun and they're funny. And they're going to sit there and be like, see what that hunter could have done differently was. See how that guy's white on that hat flared us? What a loser.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I All think. Right. So it'd be Mystery Science Hunting 3000, I think.
Would they make fun of the ducks when the ducks, like, come into, like, decoys?
Yeah, or they'd make fun of, like, lesser ducks, right? Because it's evolution, right? It's survival of the fittest. So the ones that are in there didn't get shot.
Like, they'd be, oh, you could tell she's plastic. Why are you going over there?
Yeah, totes. Yeah. You get it. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Wow.
Or, like, just bad decoy setups?
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Oh, those decoy setups are, like, against the wind. You shouldn't land when it's, you know, whatever.
Hey, mm-hmm. Hey, let's fly 75 yards past that dude's decoys and quack at him to see if we get yeah. him to shoot at us.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other one be like, that happened to Uncle Charlie and someone shot him.
Or how about this? Look, another guy sunk his boat.
Wow.
Dang.
Wow. All right.
That
Nate,
would be funny.
Do you have one more?
Yeah, I got one more. So this one is kind of a more serious one, but I think it'd be a good idea. We could have like a Food Network style like channel or show devoted entirely to wild game.
Love it.
Love that.
Does that not exist?
So, I mean, like Meat Eater does like a little cooking segment at the end of his show, and like some other people do some cooking segments, but like just like a whole network devoted to wild game cooking and like living, like even you could throw in like foraging and living off the land and like doing stuff like that too, you know, instead of having like just, and then you have some like Food Network style shows. Like, one thing I would really like to see is just a straight-up butchering show.
Wow.
Like, this is how you break down a deer. This is how you break down a duck. This is how you break down, like, a... You know, I'd love that. That kind of stuff I enjoy.
Yeah, no, I think in the outdoors industry, that would be huge. And you got fish, too, right? You would include fish in that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, wild game and wild fish, yeah.
That's so interesting. I'm trying to think. Like, my brain just started spinning because I was like, well, people don't want to see the gore. But if you did it on like a Netflix or a Hulu and did a serial release of like all the episodes and you choose to watch it, right? It's not like on primetime.
Right, yeah.
That's well, really interesting.
And it would be.
It's so educational. It's like the stuff you would learn in FFA, but nobody does that anymore.
Right, exactly.
It's FFA
Bingo.
For the masses. I love but that.
But it would also help educate. Like we talk about entry points for hunters and fishermen and stuff
yes.
like that. It would help educate on. I mean, and there's a million YouTube videos on how to fillet a fish or how to skin
oh,
a deer.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But they're not. They're done by Joey with a GoPro.
Yeah.
It would be really cool
like
to see
a cell phone
it.
Camera.
It would be really yeah. cool to see it professionally produced and
right
on a Netflix or something like that. That would be big time, Nate. I could get behind
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Nate, you're so good at this.
Hey, Emily made.
I didn't know I was going to be such a great like TV show producer, but here I
this
am.
This is your niche. Emily made venison. What was it for your Beachbody thing last week? It was Fixate Sloppy Joes, right?
The recipe was for Sloppy Joes, but it has like a ton of like onions and peppers in it, so you get your veggies. But for the meat, I used venison instead of turkey, and they were amazing.
Nice.
And
that's awesome.
I told her, I was like, for as health conscious as all these Beachbody type people are, I mean, there's a million of those programs out there, right? You would think they would be more engaging on the wild game front because that's the healthiest meat you can get.
They actually
Absolutely.
Do. So, like, they give you approved food lists, and, like, duck is on there, lamb is on there.
Venison.
I don't Venison's know if it specifically there. Calls out venison.
I think
but
it does. I think
it?
I remember seeing it.
No, I think I saw it on one of your things. Yeah. It's like 21 Day Fix. I think I saw it on
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So, they do.
Elk and buffalo.
Yeah.
And
I mean, like, that. I mean, you know, it's totally lean. There's
super
almost no
lean
fat
meat.
In it.
Yeah.
And, it's like most of it's organic.
There's no antibiotics. There's no
hormones, no antibiotics. I mean, they've lived their life in the wild doing what they wanted to do every day. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, one minute they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I mean, that is the life of a wild
animal. And it's the most humane way to get your food. It's way more humane than the chicken you buy at Publix.
Yeah.
Right.
So I like that idea, Nate, a lot.
I do too.
I think it's just, it could engage people that have never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. If anybody's listening and owns a television studio and would like Nate's contact information,
hit me up.
Yeah. All right. My last one is, what happens this Saturday, Nate, in Florida?
You get to shoot a duck in the face.
Early teal season opens. And we just a few weeks ago had college football season open, right?
Right.
And what's the best part about college football? It's getting up in the morning, turning on College Game Day, watching the shenanigans.
Yes. Yep. That's it.
Right. They got little behind the scene pieces where they talk to some kid who had this hardship growing up, and now he's the quarterback at USC, and then
you start crying a little bit.
Yeah. And then they got a silly segment where the coach lets his players pour Gatorade on him at the end of every practice, because that's, why don't we start Duck Hunt Game Day? Where on Saturday morning, we have three hosts, and they set up. The other thing about College Game Day is they go to locations. What if, like, this Saturday, a big semi-truck pulled into the SDA parking lot?
Dude.
And, like, set up, like, a stage and, like, lights.
Yeah. And then you got Lee Corso out there, and he's talking about, man, I really think the Blue Wings are here. I think they're going to be thick today. You know, I think it's all Blue Wing all day. And at the end of the thing, he puts a duck head on his head, and it's a Blue Wing teal head.
That's incredible.
Wow.
That is absolutely incredible.
You could have, like...
And, like, so you send out your schedule for the year. So, opening day, we're going to be at SDA's. You know, second week, we're going to be at Lake Toho. Third week, we're going to be at Guana. You know, we're, like, just travel around the state.
Travel around the country, man. Go to Biomeadow or go to you know...
Stuttgart?
Catahoula Lake.
We'll be at Lake one time.
Yeah, we're going to be there Saturday morning, bright and early. And you could have sideline reporters. Like, we could put some sideline reporters in the blind.
And people would bring signs and hold up signs.
Yeah, they'd be like in the background, like making fun of their ex-girlfriend and stuff, and so they could get on camera.
Oh my gosh, and someone would have a stoolie?
Yes, exactly. They'd have barstool signs and stuff.
Yes, oh my gosh.
Outkick the coverage signs. It would be amazing. I think that would be a game changer. Remember when Bassmasters used to be a big deal, and they would do the Saturday morning from the Bassmaster Classic?
Yes, yep.
That's the show I want to see.
Dude.
Duck Hunting Game Day.
That'd be awesome. You'd have to start at like 1 a.m. though.
Right.
Oh, it would be ridiculous. It would be absurd. Yeah. And then you can have hunters come out and have like little mini press conferences. Tell me, Nate, how'd it go out there today?
Well, you know, we had the setup right, but, you know, they just didn't perform today. You know, the guys, you know, they just got to work harder. They got to bring it better in practice. They got to get on the sporting plays range.
Yeah, all you can do is put people in position to make plays, coach. That's all you can do.
Yeah, we got to put the talent out there and hope the shot shell bounces our way.
So, yeah, we're going to have to figure out how to do this with Instagram Live with you two.
Oh my gosh, yes, we need to figure that out.
All right, Emily, you've got the last one.
Oh gosh. Well, that's a tough one to follow, Travis Thompson. But you guys have seen Justified.
I have. Nate refuses to watch it because he's a communist.
I mean,
we've talked about it on the show a lot.
He'll get into it after Jack.
It's
Ryan.
A Western. It's a modern day Western. So as you can imagine, there's lots of gunshots in the show. How many would you estimate roughly off the top of your head per episode?
Oh, a crap. I think Raylan kills 38 people in the series.
Yeah.
And Boyd kills 26 or something. There's a lot of gunplay.
So that's only the bullets that kill.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought it'd be hilarious if someone were to, like, in true YouTuber style, take an episode of Justified, and every time a gun was shot, instead of the camera like switching to a person falling down, it would cut to a duck falling out of the sky. So it'd just be like random hunting footage from anybody. So every time there's a gunshot, boom, duck falls out of the sky.
You'd have Raylan sitting at the kitchen table shooting Boyd.
Yeah.
And when he does, he wouldn't show Boyd getting shot. You'd show a duck getting shot.
Yeah.
outstanding.
I think that'd be hilarious.
Okay. All right. It's like those memes, like the sniper memes.
Yes.
Yes.
Of like people falling down.
Totally.
So like, you know, Chuck Norris is out there with a sniper rifle. Bam. And then the guy falls over.
Exactly.
And then he racks another round. Bam. And the guy's, yeah, I get it.
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Someone, if you could make that for us and tag us in it, that would be great.
Yeah. I don't want to do that one, but I want to watch that one.
Yeah.
We're gonna outsource that.
Yeah, that's been outsourced. That's been assigned out.
Seems like some serious editing skills go into that.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of time, but I want to see it. Okay, are we done jumping the shark? Has the shark been jumped?
I feel like the shark has been jumped.
Okay.
You know, we were great out there, but you know, we just haven't had the weather yet, and you know, we're just trying to do the best we can with what we got, and you know, got to get the wind up, got to get some cold weather down here, got to get some ducks pushing. But we keep fighting. You know, next week we're going to get out there and we're going to give it our best.
Hey, you got to give the guys over in SDA3 a lot of credit. You got to give
them
a lot of credit.
You know, they're a good bunch of guys. They're pretty good shots. And, you know, I feel like they just beat us today.
Emily.
Yo.
What's your release? See, Nate doesn't like to go first every time.
My release is lawnmowers. Let me tell
you. Hey, that's a pretty good release.
I have personally destroyed and repaired at least 2 lawnmowers, personally, by myself. And one of them I backed over. That was in a previous life. The other one, it was just a piece of garbage that we bought out of the ghetto, and it fell apart within weeks of us getting it. Now we're on our 3rd lawnmower that was given to us by my parents because they just moved and they were consolidating stuff and we ended up with a lawnmower and it won't move.
Yeah.
It cranks, but it won't move.
I don't understand. Like, do people just work on their lawnmowers all the time? Because in my experience with lawnmowers, that's what you do with them. You mow for like a week
and
during the
break.
Week you mow, you work on your weed eater.
Yeah. It's just a piece. I'm so irritated. And now Travis is not this. This is not, he's good at so many things. Lawnmower repair is not his thing.
No.
This lawnmower, I try to drop the deck on it and get up under there, and it's a more complicated than any lawnmower I've ever worked on. So I was like, F this, we're calling a repairman.
So yeah, we got a repairman on the way.
Yeah, which is like not our style at all. We were DIYers because save so much money, but I just can't do it.
You got to do what you got to do.
And my yard, really, I mean, the other alternative, I think we could hold like 5 head of cattle.
Yeah, it's naturalized, I would say.
Get some goats out there.
Yeah.
You just have dirt.
Yeah. So yeah. I was looking at some Angus steers, seeing if we could get those in, and then I could watch your butcher show and figure that out.
Hey, they're worth some money, man, if you raise those things right.
All right, so that's me. Lawnmowers are out.
What about you?
So my release is a bino harness that I got off Amazon, and it was made by Allen, you know, the Allen.
Yeah.
You know, Walmart style.
I know.
And it was $7. So those two things should have been my first key. But it was one that had a cover, right? It, like, covered your binoculars, like a pouch. And I was like, I really want one, but the good ones are, like, $100. And
right.
I'm like, I don't have $100. So I was like, let me just get this one and try it. That thing is a piece of junk. It just doesn't stay closed. It, like, flops around a lot. It's not very tight. There aren't any, like, pockets on the side where you can put, like, a rangefinder or, like, your, you know, wind indicator or anything like that. So I'm releasing that thing because it's just not...
Not great. Don't buy the Allen binocular holder.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. I know it's tempting. It's $7 on Amazon. It's tempting. Go ahead and spend another $20 or $30 and get a fairly decent one.
Are you an Amazon review leaver?
No, I've never left a review in my life.
Have you ever left a review in your life?
I have.
I have not either. That's just interesting to me.
They help
now,
me
I
so much.
Now, I read reviews.
I do, too.
I read reviews. I'm a consumer, but I'm not an inputter.
Yeah, but you've learned to read reviews, right, with like an eye towards the idea of that review was bought from Asia or something.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look for the verified buyer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sticker or whatever it is.
What's your release?
Mine is, my release I want to do is losing a dog because that sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's my release. On social media right now, We've got a water quality issues in Florida. I don't know if anyone's aware of that.
You've mentioned it a time or two.
I have mentioned it a time or two. Y'all, this is where we're at as Florida, okay? We're gonna for governor, we're either going to elect a mayor from Tallahassee or a congressman that's already been a politician. and they're going to be governor and fix our water quality issues. Or for senator, we're going to elect the former governor that everyone hates because he messed up all the water. Or we're going to reelect the dude that's been doing it for 58 years or whatever, Bill Nelson. None of these people have any intention of fixing our water quality issues. And we need to shut up about it. Like, vote based on guns, vote based on whatever your personal politics are. And then hold whoever gets elected accountable for water quality. Because none of them are intending to fix it. I'm telling you.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that for the most part. And I feel like whoever gets in, like you said, whoever gets in, we need to be knocking on his door every day saying, fix our water, fix our water.
Yes.
Fix our water. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right?
That's where I'm at. And everybody's like picking on each other. Like, oh, you're an idiot because you're a Republican. Oh, you're a liberal, so you're a moron. That is not fixing anything because it's dividing actual outdoorsmen in a lot of situations.
And neither side really has a plan, right?
No, this is what's
neither
amazing
side has any issue. Like, they don't even, neither side has even talked about it.
If a candidate stood up there, yes, thank you.
Yeah, don't tell me that I'm an idiot because I want to vote one way. And I'm not going to tell you that you're an idiot because you're going to vote the other way. Because neither side has any, like, idea what to do.
They're all dealing in sound bites. If I think I can say I'll address this water issue and it'll get me 50 votes, I'm going to say I'll address this water issue. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there are 500 votes or 1,000 votes. That's how they're dealing. They're dealing in sound bites and in 10-letter answers. Mm. And I'm looking for somebody that's got a plan that understands this or that is going to nominate people that understand this and will pay attention to science and fix this problem so we don't have to deal with it again and not keep putting stuff on our credit card because that's anyway. I'm very frustrated with the political tenor right now and the idea that we're all sitting around saying, well, if we elect DeSantis or we elect Gillum, he's going to fix this. No, he's not. We have to fix it and we have to hold them accountable as elected officials. So I hope that wasn't a partisan rant in any way, shape or form. It was more directed at we need to be one voice on this stuff.
Yeah.
Fix our water. So keep.
I have a keep. So I'm like back into reading right now.
Yes.
Oh,
this is a good keep. I remember talking to you
about
this.
Keep. Yeah. So there's this app called Libby, LIBBY. And it's a library app. So if you have a library card with like a number and you have a PIN number, which you set up at the library, you can log into the Libby app and essentially access any library book online for free.
Oh, nice.
It's so cool. And there's a bunch of books I'm wanting to read and I was kind of looking on Amazon and I was like $12, $12, $12, $12. It like adds up really quick. So I started doing some research. So if you get this app, it works just like a virtual library. So if the book is in an virtual format, someone else is reading it, it's not available to you, but you can put it on hold on your account. And when the other person's done, it sends you an email and lets you know, and then you access it for 2 weeks and then it goes to the next person. So it's just like a library book, but you don't got to drive to the library. Very cool. I was excited to find it because I know Nate's mentioned a bunch of books on this show that I wanted to read and I saw some other recommendations I'm into. So the Libby app, if you're a reader, check it out.
Yeah. So my keep is an article that was posted last week. I think a couple of people that I'm friends with posted it, but it's from Peterson's Hunting.
Okay.
And the title is, Can Hunters and Non-Hunters Honor Shared Values? And it's basically like, and this article is a couple years old. This kind of came out not long after Cecil Lion deal. And it basically talks about how the two extremes, the super antis and the, you know, hunters that feel like they're constantly being attacked by antis, how they're both wrong and how there's a middle ground where we can kind of meet. And like, if we as hunters do a better job of explaining what hunting means to us as far as like especially food value goes and explaining why we put a deer's head on our wall better, not because it's like a macho man thing, but it's like there's a story with that animal.
Mm-hmm. There's a celebration of that animal.
Every time I look at that animal, I relive that hunt. I relive that time with my friends or my family or whatever. We as hunters can do a better job of portraying this stuff, and that would help kind of bring in some people that are in the middle most of America's in the middle. Most of America's okay with most hunting. But we as hunters need to do a better job of fostering those relationships and saying, look, this is kind of how why I do it. This is why it's important to me. And then going into this is why it's important for wildlife. And this is why it's important for conservation. And this is right. But first talk about what it means to you personally. Like I don't hate animals, right? I mean, I love animals. I love the animals I pursue. That's why I do it, because I really enjoy them. And so, and a lot of anti-hunters are like, well, you're just killing them just because you like to kill things. It's like, no, right. I mean, let's get deeper in this. So I like this article a lot. It was actually written by a guy who used to be a vegan, and he turned into a hunter.
Wow.
And so it's really good. And one of my favorite quotes recently I heard, this guy, I talked about Ben O'Brien last week on the podcast. He runs the Hunting Collective podcast. And one of the things he says is we need to be more pro nuance and anti-bullshit.
Yes. Mm.
I feel like that's applicable to like everything in life, but especially hunting and conservation. Pro nuance, anti-bullshit, which I like that quote a lot, and I've been using it a couple of times. But especially in this political climate,
yeah,
we like so applicable to that.
You hit the nail on the head. Like I talk about nuance a lot,
mm-hmm.
because that's where we all get lost, is everybody wants to look at black and white, and very few things are black and white. And go back to what we were talking about a second ago, the water quality issues, the election. There's so much in nuance there. If I'm an ardent Rick Scott supporter and you're an ardent Bill Nelson supporter, there's a lot of nuance into why we choose to support those people. It's not all boiled down to as simple as, oh, he's Big Sugar, or oh, he's met with captains for clean water, or oh, he did this, or oh, he did that. There's a lot of nuance behind that. And the nuance is where when we lose track of it, we start dividing ourselves. And there's no nuance in social media. Like, social media is not real life.
No, absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff, this is like the poles of the spectrum. These are the people at 0 and the people at 10. There's nobody 2 through 8, there's nobody out there.
0, yeah. Yep.
So
no, I'm I think that's so true. Like what we just you know, the political climate in general in this country is very polarized and totally just one side or the other. There's no such thing as a middle ground. You're either 100% for me or 100% against me. There's no thing. And so I think if we can get back to a little bit more of an understanding, like we've got more in common than we probably realize.
There's more that unites us than divides us. Yes.
Exactly. And that's the kind of thing. Just pro nuance.
You'll give us that article so we can put it in the show notes?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
What's your keep, Trav?
I just want to give... So last week we had the Kissimmee meeting, the invasive plant management meeting. I just want to give a keep to the guys that showed up. Like I counted that we had 12 or 13 duck hunters there out of 36 people.
That's a good showing.
That's over a third of the audience.
That's
was
pretty good. Yeah.
Waterfowlers. I'm going to give a mini release to the nonprofits because there were no nonprofit representation there except for one guy from United Waterfowlers. And I'm talking all the nonprofits, CCA, Ducks Unlimited, Delta, UWF. I don't understand how you guys can't mobilize your people to show up at these events. Like, how many members do you think live within an hour of Kissimmee, of any of those companies?
A bunch.
Or organizations?
A bunch.
But I was proud of the guys that showed up. They got up. They were engaged in the process. The only people that spoke, really, there were three of us as duck hunters that spoke. There was an Audubon guy that spoke, a fisherman that spoke, and that was it. So it seemed to me to be a very waterfowl-heavy meeting, with a nod from a couple of folks about water quality and why are we removing some filters from the ecosystem.
Yeah, we had a bass fisherman stand up at the end, and he was like, hey, just FYI, I'm a fisherman, and I love hydrilla. It would be fantastic if you guys would stop spraying it.
Hey, there you
go. So it was interesting to have United Waterfowlers and Fishermen coming in saying, why are you doing this?
Yeah, well, not United Duck Hunters. When you say United Waterfowlers, people will...
Sorry, I meant a united group of waterfowlers, not the group United Waterfowlers.
And beyond that, even this is something where even like Audubon Alliance. So go back to what Nate was talking about in his keep. This is an issue where a lot of people, hunters and non-hunters alike can align, because we all want the habitat for the birds. Mm-hmm. They may not want me to go shoot the birds, but at the end of the day, they would like more birds there.
Right. They want food so there for the birds.
One of the few folks that don't align are like the homeowners that want their lake pristine and crystal clear with no hunters and no fishermen.
Yeah.
But if they want crystal clear water, they need to have vegetation.
Exactly. And so let me, as someone who's really new to the discussion, you know, I haven't been in it as heavy or hard as you guys have. There's been a lot of times where I've been, you know, hear people talk about it or see the discussions on Facebook, and I'm like, boy, I would love to chime in. I'd love to get more educated, and I don't know enough. And I even saw comments like that today. I'm going to tell you, you need to go to one of these meetings as a place to get started, because they do a presentation and there were slides where I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense to me. And I took pictures of them with my phone. So now I have a starting place where I can start putting pieces together. And it's not the vast internet. It's a presentation that is applicable to my state and my fisheries and the places where I hunt. So that was like super helpful as a where do I even go from here thing. Just show up to a meeting, listen to them, and you'll know exactly what questions you need to get
and
answered.
And I'll take it one step further. If you can get past your introvertedness, I have not met a single person at any of these meetings that was a jackass.
Yeah.
From people that work for Big Sugar to environmental groups to outdoorsman groups to lawyers. And I've not met a single person. I mean, I've met people that were busy, but I have not met a single person that would turn me away when I pull them aside and say, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you may get a political answer in some of those cases, but not one of them will look at you and say, that's a stupid question.
Right.
So they're smart people. They're conscientious people. They want the problem fixed, and they want happy stakeholders at the end of the day. Thank you for saying that, Emily. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, you have to go to these things and get involved.
Yeah. And then you figure out what you don't know and where you need to go.
Yep. And then that's the only way, going back, I'll mention it again. We'll put that in the show note. The Loxahatchee meeting is this Thursday. If 3 hunters show up, you're going to have to live with whatever happens there. If 20 hunters show up, you're going to be able to shape what happens there. So,
right.
You can go and be a voice, or you can live with it. If we're going to live with it, that's a sad future that we're looking at if we're not going to stay involved and stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, where we'll be anxiously waiting by the phone for the Netflix producers to call. For more info on our mentions this week, including the Libby app, links to upcoming meetings in Florida, and that article Nate found about hunters and non-hunters sharing values, check out our show notes at castandblastfl.com. Just click on listen and look for episode 53 in the links. Later.